We get so fixated on the details of what it is we're doing or saying that often we forget that it's about encountering this other person. We forget the other person who's there, who's really the one who's doing most of the work in us to begin with. The Carmelite way of prayer is really, especially for St. Teresa of Avila, is a way of freedom. It's not clinging on to or being too attached to any one particular way of praying, but instead allowing the Holy Spirit to be the guide and the author of our prayer, and just disposing ourselves to His movement, to what He wants to do within us.
Praise be Jesus Christ, and welcome back to another season of Carmelcast. Carmelcast is a production of the Institute of Carmelite Studies Publications. For more information, you can visit our website at www.icspublications.org, where you can find over 100 books on Carmelite spirituality, everything from general and basic introductions to what Carmelite spirituality is about, to the fundamental writings of the saints, including the Doctors of the Church from the Carmelite Order, the Discalced Carmelite Order, St. Teresa of Jesus, St. John of the Cross, and St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, all the way to the philosophy of St. Edith Stein, and contemporary study editions to help you to understand, you know, sometimes difficult, and certainly older texts than what we might be used to reading. We're here this season, in particular, to talk kind of a timely topic, because Pope Francis has named 2024 the Year of Prayer, kind of leading up to the Jubilee Year for next year. Every 25 years, the Church has a Jubilee Year where we celebrate the mercy of God. And so in preparation for that great Jubilee, we're celebrating a Year of Prayer where we can prepare ourselves to more fully celebrate God's mercy, His divine mercy, and celebrate just the Church, the greatness of the Church and everything, all the fruits throughout the centuries. And I think, you know, for us in this season, looking at some of our you know, I mentioned before, the Doctors of the Church from the Discalced Carmelite Order, these great juggernauts within our faith who have come before us to teach us and to help us to understand what it means to have a relationship with God. And I'm Father Pier Giorgio of Christ the King, and I'm joined this week by Brother John Mary of Jesus Crucified.
I'm really looking forward to this season. You know, this was some of the topics that you and I covered when we first set out on our first season of Carmelcast, making it a podcast. We had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah, don't watch those episodes.
Yeah, don't watch. But we set out and we covered some of these topics, and we figured this year of prayer is a time for us to revisit some of those.
Yeah, so I think the best place to begin really is just with the question of what is prayer? I know we've talked about it a little bit before, you know, harkening back to that first season, and certainly in previous seasons when we covered like the Way of Perfection, which is St. Teresa's main treatise on her teaching on prayer, as well as some other episodes where we talked about various aspects of prayer. But just to kind of bring, you know, to start off on the right foot with this season, what is prayer?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's not one that's maybe so easily answered. It's interesting, though. I think most people probably have too narrow of a concept of what prayer is. And yet, like, so if we turn to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, right away, when they're talking, it's in part four of the Catechism where they talk about prayer. And right away, they introduce prayer as just this relationship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's just, I don't know, it may be a different perspective. When we think of prayer, we're like, okay, so it's my time where I'm reciting these prayers, or I'm, you know, thinking about these things. And this is really reducing or expanding prayer, I guess I should say, to much more than that. It's about our entire relationship with God, with the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, I guess you could say that prayer is the question. It shouldn't be what is prayer, but who is prayer? You know, and,
yes,
and because of that a very sort of fundamental aspect of that relational aspect of God really being at the center of what prayer is and what we're doing in prayer, and really who we're spending that time with.
Exactly. We get so fixated on the details of what it is we're doing or saying that often we forget that it's about encountering this other person. We forget the other person who's there, who's really the one who's doing most of the work in us to begin with, but we're so fixated on what we're doing. And that's something I think we'll make very clear in some of the coming episodes too, is how the Carmelite way of prayer is really, especially for St. Teresa of Avila, is a way of freedom. It's a way of, it's not clinging on to or being too attached to any one particular way of praying, but instead allowing the Holy Spirit to be the guide and the author of our prayer, and just disposing ourselves to His movement, to what He wants to do within us.
Yeah, because relationships develop, and the way that a relationship, we can think of our own human relationships and how those, you know, particular ones may have began and how they're very different now. Some relationships grow distant. We hope that that's not the case with prayer, but at times that can be the case, certainly. You know, when sin or particular worldly distractions get in the way or keep us from going to prayer, maybe a commitment to prayer that we've made, that can certainly be the case. But also, I think more importantly, is that deepening of the relationship.
Yeah, and when we look at our human relationships, it's so clear of how they develop. And to a point where it's, again, prayer is somewhat talking about the communication in a relationship, but we have to remember that communication really transcends the spoken words. And so there are the times, most intimate times of relationship in our human relationships are the most intimate communication often happens on a level that's deeper than words or transcends words. And that same thing is the case with our relationship with God. We can't limit it. We don't want to limit our prayer to just the words that we're saying and be too fixated on that such that we miss the greater intimacy that's happening.
Yeah.
I also just want to point out this great quotation from St. Therese. This is the very beginning of the section of prayer in the Catechism. They quote this definition, really, of prayer given by St. Therese. It's interesting, you know, when the Catechism turns to prayer, it turns immediately to the Carmelites. And this is what Therese says prayer is. She says, "For me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look turned toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy." So there's I find in that a real simplicity, because again, I think we make prayer in our minds more complicated than it needs to be. Like, anyone who's listening to this is in relationships with other people. We know a lot about relationship and about what it takes to build relationship, to grow relationship. And that's what prayer is. It's about building that relationship with God. And so I think that even someone who's listening who thinks they don't know anything about prayer, I think they'd be surprised at how much they do know, and how the teachings of the Carmelite saints in particular are kind of drawing forth something that's so inherent to being human. The idea of being in relationship. It's like why we are made, what we are made for.
I think it's something that really sets apart maybe kind of the Western tradition, the Western spiritual tradition from maybe other spiritual traditions, just because of how intuitive it is. It's very human. It's very incarnational. It's very anthropological. You know, it's God created us to be in relationship with one another and with Him. And so whenever we kind of get into these areas where we're diminishing our humanity by trying to you know, reach some state of perfect concentration, when does that ever happen in this life? That's you know, real in a sense. And so to really keep things real. Keep it real.
Yes. No, actually that's a really beautiful thought, just that like prayer is really like the most, I mean, yes, it has a supernatural element, but it, in some sense, like the most natural thing we can do to be in relationship with our Creator. Like that is, again, it's like what we're made for. And even our understanding, our drive for human relationships, or our drive for like even our attachment to like material things, our attachment to our pride, like all of these things, which we're going to talk about in this episode, are really just like revealing this inner drive that we have toward union with God, and prayer is exactly that building of that relationship.
Yeah. So St. Teresa, we're going to be talking a lot about her in this episode and some of her teachings and writings. And we'll be talking actually a lot about her throughout the season in particular ways. But she wrote this really fundamental book. And the Way of Perfection is really St. Teresa being teacher. Kind of the premise of the book is that her sisters, she's founded a series of monasteries in Spain for religious women to live in community and live a life of prayer. And, you know, she has this role of foundress, and these women who are coming into her communities ask her simply the question that the disciples asked Jesus, you know, teach us how to pray. How do we pray? And how do you pray? And so the Way of Perfection is really a book of Teresa answering that question from a fundamental level. And the way that she begins, I mean, she begins just, you know, by saying, before we even start talking about how to pray, we have to talk about a few things beforehand. The first thing that she really talks about is the importance for determination, the need, because you're going to want to give up, you're going to feel like a failure at times when, because of our sinful inclinations. And that's going to cause us to internally, nothing coming from God in this sense, but it's going to cause us internally to want to run away from God. That's what sin is, really. It's running away from God, and we're going to want to double down on that. And so she says that we have to be determined to get back up again when we fail, so that we can keep moving and keep working at this relationship with God. And then the other thing she talks about is three fundamental virtues that for prayer, no matter where you are in the spiritual life, no matter where, how far you've come, whether you're a beginner or whether you're very advanced in a life of prayer, spiritual life, you have to be practicing three virtues. And those virtues are charity, humility, and detachment.
Yeah, actually, I just want to jump in and say one thing about determination too, before we go on to these three virtues, because I think that really that is kind of the even more foundational for Teresa than these other virtues, because if we show up to prayer, then God will work in us, and that's really like all that's the most important thing that we have to do, consistently make the time for it. You know, there's a billion other questions and we'll have in our minds, but it's like, are we taking the time for prayer? And for me, that's like for Teresa, the most fundamental thing to even begin the hope of a life for prayer is, are we carving out the time in our day? Are we showing up?
Yeah. And just that idea of before we even talk about, you know, maybe distractions that arise in prayer, there's the distractions that arise outside of prayer that keep us from really going to prayer, keep us from being mindful of God's presence in our life. And we'll talk more about that in the next episode too. Yeah. But just this whole aspect of making that time for God. He's made you, he's created you, he's worth the time that you can give back to him in that relationship. He's right. A very good friend.
Yes. And the reason why Teresa brings in these virtues then of charity, detachment, and humility is because they are the necessary dispositions that we have to have in order to be able to give ourselves to God. And so, again, and this goes hand in hand with like the showing up, the making the time for prayer. It's she's teaching us how can we be prepared to give of ourselves in prayer, in that time of prayer. And it's primarily through these three virtues.
Yeah. So in the Way of Perfection, she's really writing what's essentially an ascetical treatise, in these beginning, well, it's really chapters four through 15 of the Way of Perfection, this ascetical treatise on these virtues and what it means. And I want to just give a little analogy, for these virtues and why they're so important. And so I mentioned that this is an ascetical treatise, and the word ascetical comes from the Greek word ascesis, which originally, outside of a Christian context, was within the context of athletes practicing for their sport, for their championship, you know, for the Olympics, right? They're practicing their sport. And so we might use kind of this analogy, the sports analogy of practice. You know, we have a sports season, and before we even get to the games, before we even get to the competitions, we have to go to practice. Maybe we have a few months of practice. Maybe we go to practice twice a day, you know, two a days. And we're really kind of building the foundation for the game, the purpose for which we're doing this. And so we can maybe say that prayer is like those games, right? Or maybe the just our general spiritual life are these tests of our spiritual life are like the games in a sports season. And no matter where you are within that season, whether you're just scrimmaging at the beginning, whether you're in the regular season and facing off against kind of the regular sort of battles that you face in life, or whether you're in the playoffs or the championship game, you never stop practicing. You never stop practicing. And so these virtues are like that practice. No matter whether you are in the higher levels of contemplative prayer, you're a champion at prayer in the spiritual life, or whether you're just getting going, whether you're somewhere in between, you never stop practicing. And that's and that's kind of the analogy there, that we're always working on these virtues. And if we're not practicing these virtues, or these virtues aren't showing forth fruit, then that's a telltale sign that, you know, maybe something's wrong, something's not going right. And I just want to read from chapter 4 of The Way of Perfection, when Saint Teresa really kind of talks about how, like, the importance of these three virtues of charity, detachment, and humility. Before I say anything about interior matters, she says, that is about prayer, I shall mention some things that are necessary for those who seek to follow the way of prayer, so necessary that even if these persons are not very contemplative, they can be far advanced in the service of the Lord if they possess these things. So she's basically saying that even if you're not considering yourself a contemplative in prayer, even if you don't even think that that's where you are at this particular time, or that you need to be even striving for that at this particular time, she says that these virtues are still the most important thing that you can undergo. And she continues here that so necessary are these virtues that even if these persons, if they do not possess them, it is impossible for them to be very contemplative. So if we don't have them, if we're not practicing, then even if we're not kind of moving along or advancing in our relationship with God, then we won't be able to. It'll prevent us. And she says, if they think that they are contemplative without these virtues, then they are being highly deceived.
It's interesting too, because in the end, Teresa will go, later on, she'll go back to these virtues and say, it's really the only true way we can tell that we're practicing legitimate prayer is if we're growing in these virtues. You know, she's talking in the context of these nuns who could be having these incredible mystical experiences. And Teresa says, but if they don't have the virtues, then it's all a sham. I mean, it's nothing. It's really about how are you loving others? Are you detached? Are you humble?
If you're failing to be charitable, if it's all about you, if you're more interested in other things than you are in the person that you're engaging in a relationship with. So just to always bear in mind kind of that fundamental aspect of that this is relational, and you know this stuff. Like, this is stuff that we all have to deal with, that we all know and practice in our relationships in everyday life.
Yeah, and that kind of gets to the heart of what a virtue even is, right? It's like a virtue is a habit, and so it's something that can be formed, and we can, like you say, we can practice it. We can strengthen a virtue by practicing it. And I think that's a good reminder, because there's even a natural sense in which, like you're saying, a person who doesn't even have any faith could be a better friend or a better in relationship by practicing this virtue. The difference here is, like, this is oriented ultimately towards God. And so there's this supernatural element that enters in as well. But that we have the power, God has given us the power to cooperate with his grace in order to grow in these, to work on these virtues and grow in these virtues.
While God desires to give us great gifts and desires to lavish on us his love, it's possible for me to say that, you know, I desire to be a good friend of Jesus, and that involves something on my end.
Yes.
Jesus, you know, Teresa calls Jesus the Capitan del Amor. The translation that Father Kieran in his translation gives is the commander in chief of love. So he's a good friend. Mm-hmm. You know, he's no matter whether we're thinking about pizza in our time of prayer or whether we're focused on him and being present to him, he still is. He's that's not affecting him. That's not diminishing his desire to be our friends. On the other hand, we can be good friends of Jesus through these virtues.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, maybe as we dive into each of these virtues, I find one helpful way to even conceptualize these virtues is that the idea that they deal with are different, the way we relate to different things. Mm-hmm. So like love deals with the way we relate to other people. Detachment deals with the way we relate to things. And then humility deals with the way that we relate to ourselves. And so it's really like, how can we be most free in order to give ourselves? How can we be most prepared? How can we be most, just shaped and formed in order to give ourselves to Jesus? And these virtues are really the means by which we have a proper ordering of our relationship with others, our relationship with our possessions, and our relationship with ourselves.
And so insofar as we're growing in these virtues, we're really growing in freedom.
Yes.
Freedom for God in the end.
Exactly.
And we're able to then enter more fully into that relationship with him that he desires for us and that he's built us for.
Yes. And that's the whole, getting back to what you said about this being an ascetical practice. It's not ascetical necessarily in the sense of like, well, sometimes it does feel this way of like kind of gritting our teeth and you know, doing something hard. But really it's about freedom. It's about possessing the fullness of ourself, our own freedom, because in order to give that away in prayer, we have to first possess it ourselves. And so we have to break away from all of the harmful ways that we relate to things, to others, in order to have the capacity to give ourselves to God in prayer.
And I think there's a sense in which this ought not to scare us either, because God is so gentle. He's very gentle mm-hmm. with us, and this is a process. There are aspects of in which we are not free with respect to the things that we might be attached to, the relationships that we have, our understanding of who we are as people, that we don't even realize is problematic mm-hmm. or getting in the way of our relationship with God. And he will reveal those to us over time, but never be worried that it's going to be all at once, or that you have to, Teresa never wanted anyone to be prevented from going to prayer because they didn't think they were prepared enough.
Like exactly.
That's very anti-Teresian.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's like, it can sound like she's saying these are the necessary virtues that are the foundation of prayer. And you'll say, well, I don't have those virtues, so I can't pray then. And it's like, no, she's saying that in order to be able to pray, you have to have at least one degree of these things, and we do, but that's the starting place, and then it's from there that we grow. But we have to have one degree of love, one degree of detachment, one degree of humility in order to then be able to even start to pray. So if there was, I mean, I think it's a hypothetical, there's no such thing as a person who doesn't have those things to some degree, but that's why she's introducing them as this foundation, because they really are necessary in order to pray.
Yeah. You and I both have some experience with competition as runners.
Mm.
And I think it's, you know, I remember going back to like being a competitive distance runner and thinking, I'm not ready for this race, my first race of the season or something like that. And it's like, I don't want to do it because I could be so much better if I had another week to prepare or something like that. And it's just like, no, part of the process of growing is just getting out there and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't expect to run your season's best on the first race, right?
Yeah.
And so don't expect that of yourself here either, just mm-hmm. because there's so much of yourself that God wants to change and transform. And that's going to happen over time. And so be patient with yourself and be patient with God with respect to that process.
Right. Yeah. It really is like, I mean, it can be compared to like lifting weights as well. It's like, it takes time and hard work. It even like breaks us down in some ways, but in order that we can grow stronger.
Mm-hmm. So Let's kind of dive into these three virtues that Teresa points out for us. The first that she mentions is charity or love. And it goes without saying that love is paramount in kind of a Carmelite understanding of prayer. I remember, you know, the great words of St. Therese of Lisieux, who desired to be love at the heart of the church. That was her understanding of her vocation as a Carmelite nun and as an individual as well. And so if we desire to live a life that is analogous to the life that St. Therese of Lisieux lived, then we ought to be, you know, fundamentally concerned about how we are love, how we are loving others, in particular, how our prayer can be oriented in love. And it also goes without saying that love would be at the foundation of a Christian understanding of prayer, because we understand God as love, the Trinity as a relationship of three persons, one divinity, three persons in love. And so we ought not be surprised in that sense that there's something about love that we need to be working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that in these chapters from The Way of Perfection, when Teresa's talking about love, she's really speaking about it in two like pitfalls when it comes to love. One would be having not enough love, and the other would be having too much love. Now, of course, it's not, there's no such thing as like too much love when love is pure. And yet she focuses more on that aspect of it. If we love the wrong things too much, or even the right things to the wrong degree too much, then we can't be free. Our hearts can't be free to love God as they ought.
There's an aspect that comes, it's very practical, that kind of comes into this as well for St. Teresa too. You know, she was very insistent that the communities that she was establishing be relatively small, almost so that they could be kind of like a laboratory of love. Kind of like a big brother, like reality TV show type of experiment of community life, that here are the people that you need to love. And sometimes that's hard for us to discern, right? Because there's so many opportunities. There's so many relationships throughout our life that, you know, come and go. And it's like, well, if I have to love all of these people, I'm not going to have any time to pray, right? Mm-hmm. And that can certainly be something that we have to discern. But, you know, that's why she was very insistent about, you know, discern those relationships, discern the object of who God is calling you to love most specifically. And it's not to say that there'll never come a time when you are being called in the moment to love someone in a particular way for a particular period of time. But just to say that if our circle of love, our circle of influence of love is so large, we don't really have an opportunity to really go deep into those relationships, into that need to love people on a level that she's really talking about here.
Yeah. I think one aspect of this that can scare a lot of people is that this idea that we have to love God above everything else. And I mean, that's such a fundamental truth to being a Christian, to the gospel life. You know, it's, I love God above all else. But it's like people then think, well, what does that mean for the love I have for my spouse or the love I have for my child? And we have this false dichotomy as though like these are somehow in competition with themselves. Like if I love God more, then I would necessarily like have to love my child less or something like that. But this is what we see even in the life of St. Teresa. It's like when our loves are properly ordered, we have more love, a purer love to give to those that we love most. And so she could be extremely affectionate and loving with those in her life because things were properly ordered. And so often what we think is a strong love for another person, another human being, there's actually some like self-seeking in that. There's actually some selfishness hidden deep down in that, even if it's like, you know, the love of a spouse or the love of a child. And it's only by ordering those loves correctly, by having God as our highest love, that we can see that he'll reveal to us the ways in which we're maybe not loving others as we should. And he'll give us the love in order to love them as we ought to.
Yeah, we can maybe get into this mindset that that I'm the person on this planet that is going that is tasked with loving this person mm-hmm. the most, or something like that, or to the greatest degree, or to in this particular way. And that's kind of when you're bumping into that maybe disordered understanding of who you are with respect to who this person is.
There's a beautiful section where I don't remember exactly where it is in The Way of Perfection, but Teresa's talking about how when we truly love someone, we wouldn't even necessarily want to take away their pain or suffering if we knew that it was for their ultimate good. And that's something that I think is so hard to live. It's like when we really love someone and we see them suffering, we just want to take their suffering away and make, you know, like ask God, like, don't let this person suffer. But when Teresa says it, like when we have a truly like spiritual love for others, we have a bigger, broader sense in which we're able to say like, no, God, like I trust you, and that whatever this person is going through, that you're going to bring good out of it. And so it's like, you can still ask, you know, like, please take away their suffering. But only if, you know, your will be done, only if it's for the ultimate end that you're seeking for their life.
So maybe just to wrap up this section on love and charity, just to read, I want to read that quote that I alluded to earlier, that's who we ought to model ourselves in when we talk about love. And of course it is Christ. St. Teresa says, in the case of perfect love, if a person loves, there's the passion to make the other soul worthy of being loved. For I say, this person knows that otherwise he will not continue to love the other. It is a love that costs dearly. This person does everything he can for the other's benefit. He would lose 1,000 lives that a little good might come to the other soul. O precious love that imitates the commander in chief of love, Jesus, our good. And so what I think, you know, going off of what you just said, that, you know, it's not about alleviating the person's suffering. It's not about fixing their troubles or their situations. It's about making them loved, preparing their being for the love that God desires for them. That's what we ought to be centered on when we're acting in charity towards others, is preparing their heart for the good that God desires to do in them and to love in them.
And loving them with God's love, loving them as God loves them. Yeah. That's really what we're striving for here in this virtue.
So the second of these virtues that St. Teresa talks about is detachment. And she spends a lot of ink on detachment. St. John of the Cross spends a lot of ink on discussing the virtue of detachment as well. And she spends a lot of time and energy in writing on this subject, particularly because attachment to things is often the cause of, if she's talking about prayer in this book, and one of the things that people most think about when they think about prayer is the distractions that come during their time of prayer. It's a very fundamental aspect of our experience of prayer at times. You know, she wants to kind of start off by bringing up the fact that that we need to be, if we don't want to be distracted in prayer, then we need to start letting go of the things that are frequently distracting us, and the things that are keeping us from even going to prayer. You know, it's that idea of, before we even talk about the distractions in prayer, the things that distract us from even going to prayer. And for St. Teresa, she intricately links this virtue of detachment to the Evangelical Council of Poverty, this idea of going to God with nothing. This might seem sort of clear or intuitive in a sense, but it really is. I mean, we've already been speaking and pointing at this barrier that can get in the way of, like, I'm not ready. You know, as if there has to be something that I can do. I have to be able to do a back handspring before I can go to prayer or something like that. And what really God desires for us is just to fill us, mm-hmm. Fill us from nothing. And so don't go with what go to him in prayer with the things that you're distracted with, the things that you're detached to or detached that need detachment from, and also, you know, beginning that process of detachment to go to him more emptily and so that he can fill us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the I think the concept of detachment, that the word is a little intimidating for people, and maybe just in our modern understanding especially, but to harken back to what we said at the beginning about this is really about a freedom. It's about having the freedom so that we're not enslaved to the things in our lives. We're free in order to give ourselves. And that's really what's at the heart of what St. Teresa is talking about. So it's not detachment in the sense of like, oh, I don't care about anything, or a sort of like apathy. It's really about not being enslaved to our possessions, our passions, and having the freedom to choose rationally the good instead of being impulsively driven towards something.
I think we can be slaves to so many different things. You know, sometimes things that are even maybe goods in our life, but maybe we have kind of the wrong attachment to those things, or the wrong idea of the order or placement of those things in our life. So much so that we can't envision ourselves without them, and that really is kind of an enslavement to those things. If you can't imagine a life without it, or without particular relationships or particular sort of states in your life. St. Teresa says in chapter 4, paragraph 8 of the Way of Perfection, "Let us not condescend, O daughters, to allow our wills to be slaves to anyone, save the one who bought it with his blood." And so it's this really kind of important aspect you know, the only one that we should be enslaved to is the one who has purchased our lives on the cross with his blood.
Yeah, that reminds me of the idea that just kind of the way that we're made as human beings, we're always going to be attached to something. Like, it's just the way that, like, we work. And so when it comes to the spiritual life, it's really, what are we attached to? We have to be attached to something. We can't just reach this kind of Zen-like emptiness of non-attachment to anything. And it's really... it's God who we have to be attached to. So it's not about creating a void. It's about filling that void with the greatest of all goods. And then in him, we possess everything else.
Well, maybe we can just talk maybe more on a basic level about the things that, generally speaking, we find ourselves attached to. I think the first thing that really comes to mind is the first thing that St. Teresa talks about in the Way of Perfection is attachment to the things, right? If life is a process of acquiring material things and finding place for them them becoming a part of you and becoming a part of who you identify as, and those sort of things are certainly going to get in the way of a relationship, a supernatural relationship, if we're so attached to natural material things.
Yeah, and I think one like maybe practical question we can ask ourselves is what are the things that I'm attached to that prevent me from loving others or from loving God? And I think if we just even pray with that, it becomes very apparent that there are things. You know, it could be something that we like to do that has become somewhat of an attachment. It could be just our own ego, our own sensitivity. I mean, there are many things. We can't list them all here, but I think that's kind of essential, is if we look at what are the things that prevent us from loving others and loving God. That's really what we have to ask God to help us to be detached from. I want to share this very sobering quotation from St. John of the Cross from the Ascent to Mount Carmel when he's talking about attachments. He says, "It makes little difference whether a bird is tied by a thin thread or by a cord. Even if it is tied by thread, the bird will be held bound just as surely as if it were tied by cord. That is, it will be impeded from flying as long as it does not break the thread." I think that's a powerful image of how even those small things in our lives that we're attached to, we kind of justify them, we excuse them. But what John of the Cross is saying here is that we're not free as long as we have those things, and that's what we need the freedom in order to fly to God. So it's really this, it's a total detachment. It's demanding detachment, and yet it's not a like despairing or like sad detachment either. It's one that's like filled with joy.
We can justify a lot of things in our life, and I think kind of just that act of justification is a sign that maybe something is ought to be looked at more, investigated as. Like, if I'm in my conscience beginning to question, you know, whether I'm spending time on something, whether I'm spending money on something that is unnecessary or superfluous to really life, and particularly, you know, my relationships and my relationship with God, that's probably a good sign that there's something here that needs to be detached from, that I need to be freed from. One of the things that I think is particularly prevalent in our society today is, and St. Teresa's as well, because she talks about it, is attachment to health. Mm. And I think we live in this kind of this very consumerized health and fitness, you know, society, you know, particularly in the West. And it's like one of those things that, yes, it's good to be in shape. It's good to be healthy. It's good to have good habits in terms of, you know, surrounding eating and things like that. But, you know, we can quickly see how this can get out of hand when it begins to just consume everything about a person, whether, you know, it's almost like their exercise or their dieting becomes kind of their personality in a sense. And we see that even in sort of the influencer culture as well in the West, just this overemphasis on kind of this one particular aspect of who we are, and one that is, you know, certainly not the most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it becomes a sense of vanity, really. But it is interesting how it seems like, I mean, because this isn't a matter of becoming scrupulous either over, you know, well, how am I spending every second, or how am I spending every cent of my money? But it is like looking at maybe bigger habits that we have, bigger trends of how we live, and overall, seeing a bigger overall picture of is the way that I'm living, the things that I'm spending my time focused on, is it in conformity with this goal that I want to have of a deep relationship with God? How are those things helping me towards that goal?
Yeah, and am I seeking consolation from things, or am I seeking consolation from God?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this can become, you know, even more particularly important when the consolations in prayer seem to be more distant or not the same as they used to. You know, this can be a great obstacle as well, that we don't feel like we're receiving what we expect to receive from God in prayer. And so we turn back to those things that brought us consolation previously. And I think it's really important to understand that what we're really doing here is a reshaping of our priorities from our natural self to our supernatural self.
And again, with freedom as the goal. This is, again, this is not a miserable, living these virtues is not a miserable life. It's the greatest of lives that we can live, to be totally free, to give ourselves.
Well, good. The third virtue that St. Teresa speaks about is one that is, you know, closely related to detachment. Humility is the third one, and it really, what it really is it's detachment from ourselves. St. Teresa even says that that humility and detachment are inseparable sisters. And with respect to prayer, I think humility is a vital aspect because of the fact of who prayer is directed to. It's directed towards God, and in that mystery of the grandeur and the the greatness of who it is that we are directing ourselves to, it ought to seem this way, that ought to be a humbling sort of experience.
Even in the Catechism, again, at this beginning of the section of prayer, they immediately introduce humility. So we see how fundamental this is. And I think it really is because, again, if prayer is about this relationship with God, it's about giving ourselves in love, then if we're showing up to prayer because of what it does for us, or with this mindset of like what I'm going to get out of this, then you're not really even praying. Like that you're not giving of yourself. You're not loving God. You're not giving your heart to Him. You're again like seeking something for yourself. And that's contrary to what prayer is here. And so I think that's one reason why humility is so central, is that it's about recognizing that this is not about us.
I think it's another aspect that makes what makes the Christian, you know, spiritual tradition so different from those sort of secular meditations and you know, not even discussing kind of the roots of those things, but you know, people who engage in sort of these meditation practices just because they know that this will make me a better person. I think even that is not the correct understanding to have with respect to prayer, because there's nothing transactional in this. Mm-hmm. It's not you put in this many hours and you'll get this result in return. This is a complete gift of God. And we deserve and are owed none of it. Yeah. But in His goodness, He lavishes us. And so I think it's so crucial to have that spirit of humility, that to not have this attitude of, well, I did all of this, look what I did for you, Lord, and this is, you're not repaying me in the way and the manner in which I respect. There's no manager that you can speak to about this, you know, with respect to prayer. And so maintaining that humility about the mystery of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And the other kind of side of that coin that St. Teresa, well, I mean, maybe one important thing to point out is that for Teresa, her definition of humility is walking in the truth, which is maybe kind of surprising to many of us that that's what humility is for her, is walking in the truth. It's about finding kind of the middle, the mean of who we actually are, living in that truth. So we have on one end kind of thinking too highly of ourselves, but Teresa also speaks equally as much perhaps about the other side of thinking like, well, I'm not good enough for prayer. I'm too much of a sinner. I shouldn't pray. Or it can even come in the form of thinking like, well, I must not be called to that. I must not be called to like the heights of the spiritual life, to despair over that. I must not be called to be a saint. That is, again, not walking in the truth, and acknowledging who we are, who God is, and what he's calling us to.
Something that was really difficult for Teresa in her time with respect to humility, and it goes kind of alongside this idea of humility being walking with the truth, was this elated sense of the self during her time. And of course we can relate to this now as well. Mm-hmm. But in particular for her, in an aristocratic society, she was of kind of more of the middle to upper crust of society. And there was a lot of expectations about the sort of life and status that you would attempt to achieve and try to maintain throughout the course of your life. And so this for her was a great obstacle personally, you know, overcoming this aspect of honra, which translates, you know, we can see to honor. And I think that this makes sense because it kind of goes with that idea of kind of what I expect because of who I am, or because, you know, I have this to offer to my church community or to my circle of friends. And so therefore I ought to be the holiest among my peers, or I ought to have these gifts of prayer because people expect that of me or look up to me. And so, again, this sort of barrier for us to really not to be able to receive, because we've already sort of preconditioned what we expect from God out of this relationship.
Yeah, and I think kind of the contemporary equivalent to this idea of honor in Teresa's time would be almost like a, like in just kind of our image-based culture. We're like, I mean, I think especially because of social media, but it's like you have to put forward this perfect image of who you are and who your family. I just think of, like, you know, I'm not saying that these are a bad thing, but you get all these Christmas cards of these beautiful families and everyone just is dressed perfectly and smiling perfectly. And it's like, okay, that's not the reality of your daily life at all. So yeah, when we can almost lose ourselves in an image, it almost becomes, yeah, it's, again, it's not walking in the truth. We put forth this persona almost that's not who we actually are. We're not authentic to who we actually are, so much so that we lose touch with who we actually are. And again, that's what is so prevents any sort of real prayer.
We kind of have this like understanding of ourselves as like a protagonist in a movie or something, or a, you know, that kind of that very highly exalted understanding of the self. Mm-hmm. You're not the protagonist of this story. This story has already been won. The ending has been made. The hero is Jesus Christ. Yes. And so this is something that we have to orient ourselves towards, this great mystery. Mm-hmm. of the drama of what Jesus has done for us, and that we are just taking part and we're a little piece of this, but at the same time God desires to give us so much, but we can get in the way of that so often.
Mm-hmm. And maybe to tie all this then together again and back to Jesus is that these virtues are, I mean, first of all, they're lived, exemplified for us in the person of Jesus, but one thing that really strikes me is how these are really, they're the gospel virtues. And if you read, I think especially the Beatitudes, these virtues of love, detachment, and humility align so well with what it is that Jesus is teaching us, how he's teaching us to live. Because there's just something so fundamental about these virtues that make them essential for any sort of relationship with God.
I think that's a perfect place to end, you know, and I hope in my prayer in anyone listening to this, particularly anyone who may be kind of unsure about the extent of which they can really undergo this in their life, is to just begin to walk in the truth. And humility is that process, and it's that growing in self-discovery of who we are in light of God. That's what truth is, you know. And my truth, the truth of who I am, comes nothing from myself, but comes ultimately from who God sees me as my Creator, and can know me better than I can ever know myself. And so you are in good hands with respect to this journey of prayer. You're in God's hands.
Just keep showing up.
And he's directing you. And he desires to be a good friend, and let us desire to be a good friend of his. So before we end, just maybe to review some of the books that we talked about during this episode, a lot of the quotes that we referred to throughout today's discussion came from The Way of Perfection by St. Teresa of Avila. This is the study edition. What's great about the study editions from ICS is that after each chapter, there is a little bit of a study guide to help you to understand what you just read, give you a little bit of historical context, and maybe give you some questions for reflection, or if you're reading in a group, for discussion. The Way of Perfection is also contained in the second volume of the Collected Works of St. Teresa. And then another book that we really recommend and referred to a little bit throughout is a book called The Way of Transformation, subtitle St. Teresa of Avila on the Foundations of Prayer by Father Mark O'Keefe. And this is a really great book because it focuses on the virtues that we've been talking about of charity or love, detachment, and humility. All of these can be found on our website at www.icspublications.org. And we thank you for joining us this week. We pray for that you have a wonderful and blessed week. And join us next week and throughout the season as we continue to dive deeper into the theme of prayer during this year of prayer. May God bless you.